And then I have bad news for you. Just as soon as they depart, the first thing they do is complain. In chapter 11, they murmur, and it displeases the Lord, and he deals with that. But up until now, it's all been, let's get organized, let's get ready, let's make sure everything is in place. And the last thing that had to be prepared before the journey begins is the making of two trumpets. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening that we can come into your house and that we can be around fellow believers. Lord, thank you tonight that each of these dear folks have chosen to worship you, and I pray we could worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we know the Bible has a lot to say about trumpets. Help us to learn some things from them tonight, and help us to perhaps be encouraged by some thoughts that we see in this message, in this chapter. Lord, help us this evening as we spend time in your word, and I pray that each one here would hear from you, not from me. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to hearts through the word of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I remember back in the 90s, when Operation Desert Storm took place. What year was that? I can't remember. But I remember that General Norman Schwarzkopf was the fellow that was in charge of the forces. Was that 93? That sounds about right. Yep. And Norman Schwarzkopf was in charge of the forces, and he was the commander over the entire operation. And I read his biography. He was Army. He was a general. And he initially trained in tanks. And I forgot where it was now, but if he's tanks, he's probably going to be in Oklahoma. But anyway, when he was a captain, which would have made him a company commander, way, way back before he became a general. There's a long ways between captain and general, many years and a lot of hard work. But when he was a captain and he was a company commander of a tank company, it was the post-Vietnam Army. And if you know anything about the Army, that was a terrible time to be in the Army. I've known a lot of officers that were post-Vietnam officers. And the trouble is the Army transitioned from an army that was drafted to an army that was all volunteer. And so most of the people going into the Army in that time period were not the cream of the crop. A lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, a lot of immorality, a lot of theft, a lot of dishonesty, a lot of people that enlisted people that got kicked out of the Army. And I've talked to the officers and how they dealt with that. It was a very difficult time. That's when Norman Schwarzkopf was a company commander. It was also a time when the Army was not popular. If you remember the post-Vietnam era, the Army was kind of the goat. And so they weren't getting much money. And Norman Schwarzkopf knew something, and that is, if you're going to have a bunch of tanks and you're going to coordinate an attack on the enemy, you've got to have communications. But they didn't have radios that worked or the radios that were very good. And so what he did was he went out and bought a bunch of cheap CB radios and he gave it to a bunch of his tank commanders. He gave them these cheap CB radios and they spent their own personal money on them. And because of that, his tank company outperformed the other tank companies, and he was well received. He was promoted, and people kept complimenting him. How are you doing these things nobody else can do? They were communicating. Now, Moses is in a day before they've got radios. But we've had military in days before radios, the cavalry, for example, in the 1800s. And what did the cavalry use to control the troops? A trumpet. Sounds. When you think of trumpets, and you want to think about Bible trumpets, I'll say this. It's easier to study the word baptism than it is to study the word trumpet. The trumpet is mentioned more times in the Bible than baptism is. It's mentioned about the same number of times as the church is mentioned. It's about 104, I think, is the right count. Thereabouts. I'm not going to read all 104 verses tonight, but I do want to kind of get you to understand what trumpets are all about in the Bible, and we won't have you flip through. I'll just kind of explain this to you. So if you begin, the very first time that trumpets are ever mentioned in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 20, and they're not trumpets that men are blowing. It's a trumpet that God is blowing. And you remember when Moses went to the mount to receive the law, that the trumpet sounded and it was loud and it continued. That's the first time the Bible ever mentions trumpets. A trumpet is a call. It is something to get people's attention. And it is something that should cause you to look away from other things and focus on that. And that's what God did there on Mount Sinai. The very next time trumpets are mentioned is in Leviticus 23 and 25. And then there was a command given that on the Day of Atonement, a trumpet was to be sounded. Now, the Day of Atonement is the one day of the year, the only day of the year, when the high priest, after having been purified, would take the blood of a lamb, enter into the Holy of Holies. No one could go in there for any other time during the year, except, of course, when they were moving the ark and so on. That's a different matter. But he could enter into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the ark. Once a year, the Day of Atonement, it's called Yom Kippur, and the word Yom means day, and so that was the second time trumpets are mentioned, was in regard to that day. The passage we're looking at is the third time they're mentioned. In Numbers 29, they were blown on the Day of Atonement. In Numbers 31, Moses used them to send Israel to war against the Midianites. That was Moses' last battle in his life. God told him, before you step into eternity, I've got one more battle for you to fight, and that is to defeat the Midianites, because they had unjustly attacked Israel while they were wandering in the wilderness. And so trumpets were blown, the battle took place, and then shortly afterwards, Moses stepped into eternity. In Joshua chapter 6, you remember the trumpets there. That's when the walls of Jericho fell down, and they blew the trumpets. Remember that? And then in Judges chapter 7, another time we see trumpets in the Bible, Gideon blows trumpets when he defeats the Midianites. Those fellows keep coming up and causing trouble, but he blew the trumpets, and 300 men blowing trumpets defeated an army that was enormously larger than they were. And the trumpets, that army would have understood, those trumpets were a call to battle. What they didn't understand was that the warriors weren't more Israelites. The warriors were the Lord. And he won the battle. If you remember Gideon's battle, we looked at that on Wednesday nights a while back. Then you get into the kings, into 1st and 2nd Samuel and Chronicles. We have Saul, Joab, David, Absalom, other people blowing trumpets. When Solomon became king, they blew a trumpet. In the Bible, in general, trumpets are used to announce an important event like the anointing of a king. To assemble the people. In the time of battle, they're used to call the people to war. On an important day, they were blown, new moons and feast days and so on, according to Psalm 81:3. And in Psalm 150, they were used to praise the Lord. An important trumpet is going to be blown. Isaiah 27 describes it. 1 Corinthians 15:52 describes it as the last trump. You know the verse. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's the one time in the Bible that the phrase, the word T-R-U-M-P appears. I won't do anything with that, all right? But he's in trumps in the Bible, amen? Okay, never mind. Anyway, the rest of the time it's trumpet or trumpeter or whatever. And truly, that trumpet is going to be a trumpet. I want to hear that trumpet tonight.
Amen?
I sure hope the Lord comes when we're in church. I don't know why. That may be a little bit caustic in one sense, and that is I think some folks need to be in church. Amen? Matthew 24 talks about that trumpet as well. There is one other time the Bible emphasizes trumpets. Not a good time. Not a time you and I have to worry about, because we're not appointed to wrath. See, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Thessalonians. Says plainly, we are not appointed to wrath. But if you remember in the Revelation, there were seven angels with seven trumpets. If you want to read about that, you can find that in Revelation chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11. And when they blow those trumpets, terrible things happen. Hail and fire fall upon the earth. The sea becomes blood. The very last of those trumpets, as if there wasn't enough judgment already, is the beginning of the final judgment of the earth. And then the last time the word trumpet ever appears in the Bible is towards the end of the Revelation, I think it's chapter 18, where there's the description of the destruction of Babylon. And it's not necessarily talking about the literal city of Babylon, but it's talking about a Babylon that sounds an awful lot to me like New York City, but I don't think that's what it is. It could be Rome, but it's a place where people have ignored God and they have gone about their lives, and there's commerce and there's revelry and all these things. And God judges that place, and it says that in Revelation, I think it's 18, in that day, the trumpet will sound no more in Babylon. The idea being that Babylon's going to cease to function. And because the Lord's going to come and establish his kingdom, which is not about men, but it's about him. That's the last time the trumpet's ever mentioned in the Bible. Now back to Numbers 10. Let's see what happens in Numbers 10, because we can see the purpose that God had for the trumpets. First of all, as I mentioned, they're meant to gain attention. Look at verse 2. It says, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them. Let's just stop right there for a minute. I don't know how much you know about working with metal. Silver is not a hard metal, but it's not an easy metal to work with either. And I know this, in the day that these folks would have gone about making these trumpets, just getting a big piece of silver would have required a huge amount of work. And then how are you going to craft that? They don't have electric drills. They don't have commercial sharpened tools like we have today. This is all done with much more primitive materials. And it's not a job I would want someone to give me. If someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I want you to come up with this big chunk of silver, and then I want you to craft that into a trumpet, I wouldn't know what to do. But I can tell you this, it's hard. You think God asks us to do some hard things? He asked Noah to build an ark. Try to build a rowboat someday and you can appreciate what Noah had to do. But sometimes God asks us to do hard things, doesn't he? Amen. But the fact of the matter is, he'll help us if we'll let him, if we'll trust him, amen? Amen. And there's lots of things that are hard, but that doesn't mean God doesn't ask you to do hard things. He says, make them that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. So the first thing that they were for was to get the attention of the people to assemble them. Folks, God desires us to assemble.
Amen.
Maybe what we need to do is have somebody stand outside and blow a trumpet on Sunday mornings. Amen? Well, I don't know, but might get some attention. Amen? The neighbors would say, what are y'all doing? You woke me up. Yeah, you need to come worship the Lord instead of laying in bed and dying and going to hell. Amen? And but they get people's attention, undoubtedly. Particularly and mostly in the Bible, not exclusively, but a lot of the time, the trumpet is used to call people to the alarm of war. Look at verses 5 and 6. It says, when you blow an alarm, then shall the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. Now, you can go back in a few chapters, don't do it right now, and you can look and see what those were. But I can tell you, Judah was one of them. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south shall take their journey. So it's a way of sequentially sending the army out in the case of a battle. And just again, I'll mention to you, folks, God sends us into battle. Say, against what? Well, against the lies of the devil. What do you have as a weapon? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And what can this sword do? It can divide asunder, the Bible says, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You ever come across somebody that's bigger than you? And you'd be a fool if you came across somebody bigger than you to lay down your sword and to fight them hand to hand. But we make that mistake as Christians sometimes. But folks, when you got a sword and they don't, then you got the upper hand, don't you? And it's not what I say or what I think that matters. It's what the Bible says.
Right.
And be ready to use the Bible. One verse can cut a slice. And two or three verses can render somebody. Now they may at some point in time deny the Bible. I can't do anything for you if you don't believe the Bible. I can tell you what it says. I can warn you. Oh, by the way, Ezekiel talked about trumpets. You know what he said? You remember this. He said that if you have a watchman and the enemy's coming and you don't blow the trumpet, that the people that die, that the watchman is accountable for their death. It's his, their blood is on his hands. But if the watchman blows the trumpet and those people don't listen, then their blood's upon their own hands. And that applies directly to you and I. We need to be blowing that trumpet in the idea of we need to get the Word of God out. Amen? We need to warn people. You say, well, if I warn them, they will get mad. If you don't warn them, and I'm just being humorous here, if you don't warn them, God's going to get mad, in a sense. And the fact is, if you don't warn them, their blood's on your hands. Who can you warn this week? Well, I don't want to offend them or hurt their feelings. I don't either, but God said we need to warn them. And if you don't blow the trumpet, then their blood's on your hands. So the trumpet gains attention. The trumpet is a note of alarm. A trumpet is used to send out armies. In verse 9, he says, if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you. Now there again, there's an interesting thought. The enemy would like to oppress us. What did we just learn on Wednesday nights a while back in Judges? What happened every time Israel sinned? Israel sinned. Here comes the enemy. What does the enemy do? Take good care of them and feed them and clothe them and house them? No. The devil takes everything they can. The enemy takes everything he can from them and leaves them hungry and miserable and in bondage. That's what sin does. And we need to fight that, not just say, oh, well, we don't want to make anybody unhappy, so let's let the devil have his way. No, we need to fight. And sometimes there will be times when there will be an enemy that would oppress us. And folks, God can give us the victory.
Amen.
Over sin and over the lies of the devil. And so when this comes to pass, when the enemy comes against you, he says in verse 9, blow an alarm with the trumpets. I keep coming back to the idea here. There's some parallels here with trumpets. For example, sounds like trumpets have a thought perhaps of, although it's not strong, but it's certainly there in Ezekiel, of warning folks about judgment. Here, trumpets seem to have a kind of allusion to bringing our cause to the Lord so he can defend us. So there's kind of a tie-in with prayer there a little bit. Not too strong, but certainly there. He says, blow an alarm with the trumpets. Now look at this in verse 9. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. So Israel's not just blowing the trumpet to call the troops to war. Excuse me. They're blowing the trumpet to get the Lord involved. Is the Lord involved in our battle? If he's not, we're going to lose. And so certainly there's a use of trumpets there to call people to war, to send out the armies. And then there's one more time the trumpets were used, and it's mentioned in verse 10. In your day of gladness, and the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And so there's another time. I like the beginning of verse 10. There's a day of gladness. Folks, life is not all battle. Sometimes there's gladness. Amen? Amen. There's a time to blow the trumpet. And the blowing of the trumpet there is, and it's mentioned in Psalm 150, is to praise the Lord. Just very simply stated in Psalm 150 in verse 3, to praise the Lord. He says, blow the trumpets when you have your offerings and your sacrifices, that they may be a memorial before your God. So to mark special days or special events. So I put this all together and I got to thinking about it. You know, it's interesting. With the exception of praising the Lord, that one verse in Psalm 150, from beginning to end, everything that has to do with trumpets has to do with this life and not eternity. You know, it sounds like trumpets are something that are special for here and now. And I'll show you what I mean by that. And let's just explain this to you if I could. First of all, they are used to call the people to assemble. Folks, in eternity, that won't be necessary. Amen? We'll all be together for all eternity. Now, I cannot understand. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of details about what's going to happen. I know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. All those folks that are worried about global warming, I got bad news for them. The earth is going to be destroyed with fervent heat. They're worried about oceans rising. I'm worried about oceans disappearing. I'm worried about oceans turning to blood. And I was looking at something the other day. Since 1900, the level of the ocean has risen perhaps 5 inches. Maybe 5 inches. Now, I've been on a lot of seacoasts. I haven't found a place yet where 5 inches makes a lot of difference. And I just know this. God promised in the Bible to keep the sea within its bounds. Someone says, oh, men have to do that, Pastor. They've got to keep the sea within its bounds. No, God will take care of that. Amen. We got more important things to do. Let's get the gospel out. Amen. You know, if you forget about God, then maybe you can worry about the sea. But I'm not going to forget about God. So anyway, in eternity, there will be no need to be called to assemble. Now, I'm just going to say something that's misinformation, but I'll make sense of it for you in a minute. Nobody will ever miss a church service in eternity. Will there be assembly in eternity? You bet there will. We'll be assembled. We'll be with the Lord. He'll be our God, and we'll be his people. I don't understand the physics of that. I don't understand when the new heaven and the new earth comes down and there's a new Jerusalem and it's 1,500 miles pyramid shaped and it's got walls and it's got gates and it's got people that live in it and people that live out of it. I don't understand all that, but I know this, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And if I'm with the Lord and you're with the Lord, we're going to be with each other. No need to call an assembly, amen? Amen? But now we need to assemble. I wish people understood that. We could get very deep into that subject, and it would be profitable time. Folks, we need each other. And we need to support each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to be a blessing to each other, and we can't be that when we're not together. And I understand when people are sick and they cannot get out of bed or whatever and they can't be in church. I understand that. But I do not understand it when people choose not to be in church. I don't understand it when people choose not to be in church, but they choose to be everywhere else under the sun and then say, I can't be in church. I think you need to remember, you can tell everybody that you can't be in church, but the Lord knows if you can be in church. Amen? The Lord knows our priorities, and I'm preaching to the choir. You folks are the faithful ones. You're here in church. We need to assemble. We need to encourage each other, especially in the last days when it seems that there are fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer Christians. Fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer churches. I forgot the statistic, but I forgot, what is it, one every 3 days? One church every 3 days that closes in our nation, something like that? I get mail all the time from, and in Maryland, I got mail all the time from churches that are closing that want to sell their property. Churches that are closing want to sell their property. Churches closing want to sell their property all the time. Not necessarily good churches, but they may have been a good church at one time. And it's sad. We need to assemble. Well, Pastor, I got to get something done. No, you don't. You need to get God to get that done. You need to be in church. I'm going to tell you, if I had a test tomorrow morning, well, in the first place, I didn't find out about that test this morning at 9 o'clock. I've known about that thing for a long time, right? And if I had a test tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and I knew there was a church service tonight, then here's my thought. I need to study before 6 o'clock on Sunday night because we got church at 6 on Sunday. And you cannot convince me that that extra hour and a half is going to make or break you, but you can easily convince me that the Lord can make or break you.
Amen?
Amen? In other words, God can take my feeble ability and ramp it up a little bit and give me a good score on a test where I could study an extra hour and a half and not do nearly so good. Hey, I got my CDL, folks. God's a miracle worker, amen? And, you know, I still remember that lady over there taking the physical, and she said, well, your blood pressure's a little high. I'll try again, she said. Lord, please give me low blood pressure. And sure enough, I passed it. You know, the Lord can do things like that. We need to assemble. We need each other. We need to remember we need each other. And you need each other too, amen? In other words, you say, well, Pastor, I don't need anybody. I'm just tough and strong and I can. No, God intended for us to assemble. Amen? I love it. I don't know if I've even mentioned this to you folks or not. You can tell a lot about a church by how quickly people leave. You can tell a lot about a church service by how quickly people leave. If the pastor was really rough on you and it was a really sad service, maybe not a lot of encouraging things, at the end of the service, the doors are just, everybody's out the door. A happy church? You got some usher back there at 9 o'clock flipping the lights on and off. Let's go, folks. Come on. Let's go. Come on. That's good. We had fellowship. We had that fellowship on the patio a couple of weeks ago. And some of us sat out there until 8:30 and just sat there and talked. Amen? Amen? We need each other. We need each other. The Lord wants us to assemble, not just to hear the Bible, but that's a very important part of it, but also to be there for each other. There will be none of that in eternity. We'll be together all the time. Trumpets are for this world, secondly, because they're intended to raise an alarm, and there's no alarm in eternity. There will never be an emergency. There will never be a fire truck. There will never be an ambulance or a policeman. There will never be a police force. There will never be a 911 call. There will never be any emergency because there will never be anything go wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Things go wrong here all the time. We get bad news and we get calamities and things happen and it's not going to be that way in eternity. And folks, I just want you to know something. When it comes to the Lord, there's never really an emergency because you may not have known about it, but he did. Amen?
Amen.
That bad news that you got that you thought was so bad. I just remember this morning in everything give thanks. Shift it over to the good side column and everything is give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's going to use that somehow. I don't know how, but he is. Amen?
Amen.
And there's no emergency in heaven. But there are emergencies on this earth. There are alarms to raise. So for that reason, there will never be a trumpet blown in heaven to assemble the people. There will never be one blown to raise an alarm, to the best of my knowledge. I know no alarm for sure. Thirdly, they're used to send the army to battle. There's no battle in eternity. Amen? There's no enemy in eternity. There's no adversary. There's no sin. There's no rebellion. There's no pride. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
There is not going to be any. The Bible says only by pride cometh contention. Every single fight that ever happened in the history of the world between two people or two nations was because of pride. No pride in heaven. So there'll be no battles. So no need to sound a trumpet for a battle in eternity. Amen. No armies, no tanks, no weapons. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back with the new heaven and the new earth, no more sounds of war. I don't know if you understand, I don't know if any of us really can comprehend how sad and how horrible wars are. I saw a documentary on the Korean War. It's one of those images I just can't get out of my mind. It really pertinent, and that is that there were these two children, and they were standing there in this picture, that this motion picture, and laying between them was their dead mother. And this one child is just, you can just see, the child doesn't know what to do. And can you imagine the horrors of that? Someone says, oh, sin isn't so bad, Pastor. No, that's what sin looks like. That's the kind of suffering that people cause when they're with their pride. And that's the way the devil likes it. He wants that kind of suffering in the world. I told you the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life in person dealing with animals was I was driving down the road in Maryland. I saw a dead deer on the side of the road with a fawn trying to nurse. And I thought, how sad is that? The deer's been hit by a car. The deer's deceased and the fawn is going to starve to death. There's not a thing I can do about it. I think about all the suffering in the world. If you could stop some of it, would you? Oh, I'm busy, Pastor. I really haven't got time for that. Oh, come on. Do you imagine the suffering in hell? If you could stop some of that, would you? Amen. Well, you know, Pastor, I got to make a little more money because I'd like to need a little better lifestyle. And I got this cause I'm fighting for. Or I got this need I want to meet. Or I'm just too busy to go soul winning. Do we really understand the suffering that people are going to endure? And oh, by the way, I believe with all my heart, if those people had gotten saved, I'm not talking about the ones suffering so much as the ones fighting the wars, they wouldn't have been fighting like that. I'm not anti-war, don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, that suffering that's caused by that pride, none of that in eternity, amen? And the world is a lot sadder place. If the world is your home, you got a sad home. Folks, heaven's our home. Amen. One more time. Special days. Now, in verse 10, he mentions this. He says gladness and solemn days and the beginnings of months and offerings and sacrifices. There's no more need for sacrifice in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. Amen. There will never be an animal slain in heaven. There will never be blood shed in heaven. There will never be, I think it's going to be just one big feast to some extent. And you can't get fat, praise the Lord. We can just enjoy it. Nothing can possibly go wrong there. I do know there will be gladness. I do know that we'll be praising the Lord. I don't know if we need a trumpet to do that. So when you read about trumpets in the Bible, they remind us of the way things are here and the way that they won't be there. Amen? Amen. And that's kind of a source of joy. We had a fellow in our church in Utah, and he could play the trumpet. And the pastor had an idea, and we had some service, and they'd do a thing on the trumpet that I can't even imitate, but at the beginning of the service, this fellow would blow the trumpet in this certain way, and this certain kind of a call. It's kind of like you've heard the song "Faith of Our Fathers." You know, that song's da 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 da. Faith of our, you know. Well, he would play that on the trumpet, and it really got our attention, and it just kind of set the tone for the service a little bit different. The tone in heaven will never need to be set. Amen? Amen. Trumpets are for here and now. I'm not saying there won't be any in eternity. I don't know. I'm not there yet. But I know this, there's not going to be any alarm, there's not going to be any war, there's not going to be any need to get people to come assemble, there's not going to be any sacrifices. Almost everything you see trumpets associated with in the Bible is for here, right here and now. And it just reminds me, the next time you hear a trumpet, Just remember, there's a better place waiting for us. Amen?
Amen.
There's a place, there's an eternity waiting for us. It's going to be free from all these events that trumpets tie to. Can't wait. Let's all stand and pray.